worshiping Him. Amen. As much as I enjoy worshiping Him all together, and praise God. I am thrilled about Him. Hallelujah. I am so thrilled about Him. Now, the reports came in that the last Wednesday service people were freezing, so I bumped it up a degree. So now people are probably roasting, because I am. I'm up here roasting. If anybody cares, I'm the one that's got to preach. I'm just kidding. I mean, I am roasting, but Matthew 18 and verse 18, I'll live. I'll make it. Matthew 18 and verse 18 is where we're going to start. And I'm thrilled about this because tonight's the beginning of a new series. And I'm excited about this. It's been a while since I've been prompted to do this series, but it's going to be a little different. We're starting off a little different than normal because that's the way the Holy Ghost is leading. But also, you know, there's such an emphasis on the part that we have to play in the body of Christ. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've been emphasizing prayer. We emphasize faith, which is our part. We've been seeing things, and we're going to look at, you know, some of those things again tonight. But we have to get some of these things so ingrained in us that, you know, I don't think about breathing. And if you start to think about breathing, it's kind of weird. Like if you think like, oh, I got to take a breath now, I'm going to die, you know. It's, you just do it, right? And some of these things need to get so second nature to us that it's just an extension of who we are. Amen. But let's pray. Father, help us tonight, Lord. May your deeds be done. Father, your words be spoke. Lord, I don't take this lightly. I am so thrilled to be in your house, to be with your precious people. Father, people that you loved so much you gave Jesus, people that you are so interested in their lives. And Father, what a joy and honor it is to be able to share the word to them. And Father, we've come hungry, we've come honorable, we've come reverent here tonight. And we know that those things are the recipe for a move from heaven. And so, Father, do what you want to do, Lord. Say what you want to say. Speak to us. Father, if you want to do things at the end, in the middle, in the beginning, whatever, Father, we're here for you. But help us to get out of this service. Help us to hit the mark, Father. And we just thank you for it. We know every time we gather when you're present, in the Bible and now and forever, it's always an opportunity for increase. It's always an opportunity for growth. So, Father, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be talking about authority in this series and trying to get some things into us because, you know, I'm going to read a few scriptures here, but when it comes to things like prayer, things like faith, we really are the catalyst of whether or not God will be able to move on the earth and move in our life. And in Matthew 18 and verse 18, you know, I'm going to read three portions of scriptures that really show us this idea and this principle. But it says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven." So heaven's not doing anything till earth's doing something. And that's talking about us, because he's saying you. "And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you," verse 19, "that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask," talking about prayer, "it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." But notice here that for heaven to move on the earth, for God's power to flow, it took people doing the right thing. Amen? Binding, loosing, agreeing, then God moved. Of course, in Acts chapter 12, we won't read the whole portion, but in Acts chapter 12, we'll just look at verse... we'll look at verse 5. And of course, we know this is the story of when James was taken captive. He was killed. The church realized, wow, we didn't must not have prayed for James because the Bible didn't mention it. And the church recognized, okay, they've taken Peter. We better pray now. Hallelujah. We better start making some power available. And we know these scriptures says Peter was therefore kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And Peter's result was much different than James's result. But it wasn't because there was a God in heaven that was taking a break when James got killed, that God decided this would be best for James and that this is James's will. No, that was not God's will for James. It wasn't the will of God for his life. But there's very different outcome. And the only thing that the Bible makes sure to point out that we know the difference, it wasn't in the oppression. It wasn't in the captivity. It wasn't in, you know, how many soldiers were around him. It was the fact that the church did something. Amen. And then in Mark 11:23, we looked at it in the offering, and you know, we'll just say it because we know it, but it talks about speaking to the mountain, that we have what comes out of our mouths, not his mouth, not Jesus's mouth, not the Holy Ghost's mouth. We have the duty to be the one saying and speaking to the mountain. So we could look at place after place. That's one of faith. We've seen one of prayer. Talk about binding and loosing, which, you know, maybe at the end of service we'll see some of these things more clearly. But these are places where Christians are the catalysts for God to move. And why we need to get this so, you know, I'm amazed at sometimes things I read on cards, emails that I get, in conversations with people, still some of the wrong mindsets that are out there that are hurting people. And it's the mind where the change comes. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But there's such a religious, demonically motivated idea in the body of Christ that God is just going to do what God wants to do. That we can hope for God to move. You know, we can wish and want God for God to move. But ultimately, it's just going to depend on what he's doing that day. How he's feeling. If he wants to or not. And many times when things don't happen, people chalk it up to because they have wrong doctrines of believing. Well, the reason that person stayed sick is because God's okay with sickness. The reason that person stayed sick is because God's the one that gave the sickness. Or God's okay with them being poor. Or God's okay with them and their family and their kids and whatever's going on. And it's so rampant in the body of Christ. You know, I came out of those places. She came out of those places. And many of you have testified and talked to me about places that you've come from, that you never knew this stuff, that you thought God was out to get you, that you thought, you know, you didn't have a part to play, that you're just waiting and hoping to pull that lever and having your numbers come up 777, you know, with God. And unfortunately, because of that, it gets people sitting on their hands. And we know this, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And we need this revelation of our role of authority, because when it comes to praying to save Peter, when it comes to binding and loosing, when it comes to you opening your mouth and speaking to the mountain, there's such pushback against that in the body of Christ and such pushback from the devil to make people feel this way that it's almost like you're promoting a you gospel. And it's all about you and it's what you do. And of course, we know that's not our heart. We know that's not the Bible. But that pressure comes from the enemy and it comes from people. And because that's so foreign, that God, to say that God can't do anything on the earth unless we get the ball rolling, that is blasphemy to Christians. But it's truth. And because of that, you know, thought and that mindset that's in the body of Christ, I'll just say it this way. You know, a failure to recognize and truly understand your place. Well, I'll give you an example. I believe the reason that people don't pray like they should is because people don't have it so ingrained in them that God's not moving until somebody prays. Why don't people speak to the mountains? Because I don't believe people really have confidence in faith, in their faith words moving those things. Yeah, we have the power to bind and loose. James was left undone, and look what happened. They bound and loosed some things with Peter. The body of Christ did, and God moved. Hallelujah. And When people don't understand these principles of authority, and I'm going to take you all the way back to the book of beginnings here tonight, it causes people to not do what needs to be done to get God to move. Now, let me give you an example. As I was meditating, you know, Lord gives me examples and illustrations that help me to see and hopefully make the message a little easier to swallow. But, you know, for years, I went to work at jobs that I hated. Maybe you've gone to work in jobs that you despise. Maybe you're in a job right now you despise. You don't like going. You don't want to be there. You dread waking up. You dread going. But you know what? You go. Even though you hate it, even though you don't want to do it, you go. Why? See, you have a revelation that if I don't do certain things, I can't get certain things that I need. It's the truth. And people don't have that true revelation when it comes to prayer, when it comes to using their faith, when it comes to using their authority, that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, what the Bible says to do, you won't get what you need to have in your life. That move of God, that power of God, that turnaround, that deliverance, that favor, that protection, whatever it is, in Peter's case it was deliverance, it didn't come until people that got a revelation. Amen. And we go to these jobs over and over again because we have a revelation that if I don't go and do what I'm supposed to do, I can't get what I need. But we have to start having the same revelation. If we don't do what we're supposed to do and what we're called to do and the anointing that we have, we won't get what we need either. James did not get what he needed because people had a lack of revelation of their authority on the earth. Amen. It's true. Hallelujah. Now, to understand this fully with authority, we've looked at these things before, but to truly get to a place where it's like second nature and it's like breathing for us, that it becomes like we don't have the option to not pray anymore. We don't have the option to not release our faith. We don't have the option to not take authority over things that come against us. Because we obviously need these things changed. We obviously need these things to move and be different and to turn around. But if you're just sitting on your hands, it's not going to happen. And it's hard for people to understand this because of that religious mentality that is just blanketing the body of Christ, places you've come out of, places I come out of, that really make the Christian powerless and leave everything up to God. When there's scriptures like, whatever we bind, the church prayed, you know, whatever we say. Even though these things are there, they're hidden from a lot of people. But to understand where we're going with authority, to get to that place of authority, you got to go back to the beginning. And there's two scenes. It's almost like a movie. Have you ever, you know, I'm a stickler for this kind of thing, but have you ever been watched, maybe you watched a movie before, and you sat down with somebody to watch a movie you've already seen, and you know that there's certain parts in the beginning that you kind of, at least the way I'm doing, I'm a very high-maintenance movie watcher. What do I mean? If I'm going to sit down with you and watch a movie that you've never seen, I don't want to have to explain myself through the whole thing. Pay attention, please. But you know there's certain parts in the movie in the beginning where it's like, okay, if they don't see this interaction, if they don't hear the word spoke, then in the middle and in later scenes, it's not going to make sense to them. And so they got to get this down and understand this to understand that. And to understand authority, we'll never fully understand authority and why we have to pray, why it's not optional, why we have to use our faith, why we have to use the name of Jesus, why we have to bind and loose if we don't first understand the scene that took place way back in the beginning. Because we'll just jump to this idea, well, it's God and God can just do it if he wants to. Not when you watch the whole movie. And when people don't pay attention to the beginning, they say, why is this person doing this? Why is this person acting like this? Dummy, if you'd have paid attention in the beginning, you'd have seen that scene that was key for now. Yeah. Amen. Go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, Genesis 1 and verse 26. I'll just say it this way. When I was in, now I pray, and I am in the Word, and I release my faith, but when I was in Pastor Michael's Holy Ghost meetings in January, what did he talk about? The need to pray, and talking about Elijah, and how without Elijah praying, the rain wouldn't have stopped, and the rain wouldn't have came back when without the man of God praying, and pointing to the fact of how when we pray, power is made available, and when we don't pray, there's no power made available. I sat through those meetings convicted like crazy. Of what? I need to pray more. Yeah. Of what? I need to do my part more. I need to pick up the slack, praise God. And so until we truly realize and get that in, you know, just like that revelation of doesn't matter, I don't like work. Doesn't matter, I don't want to go to work. I need something from that place, so I got to do it. Yeah. And when you get to the place, it doesn't matter how inconvenient it is, how much I don't want to, how much doesn't make sense in my natural mind. I need something, and this is how it works. But in Genesis 1 and verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them," notice this, "have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created them. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth." Notice this, "subdue it." Well, there must be some things there that are going to need to be subdued. "And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, would you go back to verse 26 and pull that up in the Amplified Bible? God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image after our likeness." Now notice this. "And let them..." God's saying, let them, not me, let them, mankind, have complete authority. Do you see that? Of course, in verse 28, it goes on, talks about dominion over all of what God had made. But here, a failure to recognize what took place right here in this transaction will cause a Christian to struggle later down the road. Why do Christians still question why God is doing bad things on the earth? Because they've not fully recognized what happened in this scene of the movie. How can Christians still think that God's a sickness giver? That God did something to hurt you, that God did something to cause your life to be harder, that God did something to take away your finances, to hurt your children, to hurt your family, to hurt your body. But yet Christians all over the place are giving God the credit for these things and asking questions like that. Why? They haven't got this part of the movie down. Hallelujah. Why do Christians fight against or don't have the revelation that, you know what, I need a change in my life. I can't just sit around waiting. You know, most people just sit around, I'm waiting for him to move, waiting for him to do something, waiting for him to send the rain, waiting for him to change. Why do most people have that revelation? Because they have not gotten this down in their heart yet. Because literally what happened in 26 through 28 was there was a transaction where God, the best way to look at it is God literally handed the keys or the title deed to planet Earth to mankind. And Christians, this is so foundational and basic, but when it comes to our even our authority, you might not be here tonight and question that God's a sickness giver. You might not be here tonight and question that God's trying to hurt your kids or make you poor or get in your way. You might be beyond that, and totally have your mind renewed to that's not who he is. But Where's your mind on authority? Where's your mind on you using the name? Where's your mind on you moving the mountains? Where's your mind come when it comes to praying and making power available? Are you sitting around waiting for the miracle money to show up? The $1 million miracle? Are you sitting around just waiting for the miracles to show up? Are you sitting around just waiting for the miracle to show up in your life? If you are, you haven't arrived. But a lot of people do because they haven't got this fully down yet. Because that mindset creeps in that he's in control and he's going to do what he wants to do. But in this moment of time, God said to mankind, it's yours. And if this was the deed to my house or the deed to my car and I had the keys with it and I signed it over and whatever the paperwork that's needed and handed that to you, no longer is that vehicle in my control. No longer do I legally then have a right to interfere. I could drive to the store and see that you've not washed it in forever and that it's starting to get rusty. And I can't just see something I don't like, something that I wish was changed. How could they do that to my beautiful truck and jump in that thing, get the extra key that I never gave to you that I forgot that was, you know, in the little cupboard with all the other stuff. That's where the extra keys go. And I didn't give you, I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to take that truck because I don't like what's going on. I don't like what they're doing with it. I don't like how they're treating things. I don't like what's happening. I would go to prison. I would get arrested. But that's what people want God to do. He gave it to mankind legally. Gave it to mankind. Now you can agree with him how he did it, disagree with how he did it, but that's what happened. He gave it to mankind. Well, that's the one scene that with authority you have to understand, first and foremost, that God right there and then is not in control of planet Earth. After this, you know who's in control of planet Earth? Mankind is. God is not in control. When I give you the keys and the title deed to my vehicle, whatever you do with that, driving out of my driveway or wherever we met, whatever you do now is not up to me. I have no control whether you put the right oil in it, the right kind of gas in it, whether you take care of it, whether you get the scheduled maintenance, whether you treat it great, better than I. It's out of my control. You have to see that. What happens on planet Earth is out of God's control. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Of course, we know where we're headed for the second scene of our movie. Why are people stumbling along in life? Because they didn't pay attention to the beginning scenes. Genesis chapter 3. I'm probably pretty much just annoying to watch a movie with. If you've already seen it, I'll let you get away with falling asleep and using your phone. But if you haven't seen it, I just can't take it. I get so mad. I'm done. I'm done. Because I know what's going to happen. You're going to ask me questions later. I don't want to answer them. Genesis 3 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, now remember in Genesis chapter 2, because we you know, just for time's sake, we skipped over that. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, God says what? You can have everything in the garden but one tree. Everything is yours but one tree. And so that's what God spoke. It says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said unto the woman, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, excuse me, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you will not die. Well, that's what God told her, you'd die. And now the serpent's saying, no, you won't. For God does know in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, God never said anything to them about that. The devil's just spouting off. Putting thoughts, imagination, that's what he does, you know. That's how he works. Remember, that's how he works. How does the devil work? He tells you things to your mind, gives you circumstances, imaginations that are opposite of what God has said. God has said all your needs will be met. But the devil's given you imaginations of never being able to pay your bills, never getting out of your problem, never getting out, right? God's told you about healing, and the devil's given you imaginations and thoughts. You have a choice. Which one am I going to believe? That's how the devil works, though. Of course, we know, verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and didn't eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he also ate. And the eyes of both of them were open. Now, one thing you'll learn, and you know, I know we have some people that are in MTC. One of the things for the first trimester, I believe, is Bible interpretation. You'll learn some of these rules and laws about Bible interpretation, but one of the main things you'll see is that the Old Testament is darkness, the New Testament is light, and that you never interpret the New Testament through the Old Testament. You always interpret the Old Testament through the New Testament. Well, what happened here can be summed up in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 shows us what happened here and what took place, and then we can look at other scriptures to back up that doctrine or the point that we're trying to make. In Romans 6, in verse 16, now this is written in the New Testament, but it sheds light on what happened in the Old Testament. Well, what happened in the Old Testament? God told him something. The devil told him something. Who did they listen to? The devil. And it says in verse 16, know ye not, or don't you know, that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, it says, whoever you yield yourself to obey, whichever entity you're choosing to listen to and follow their words, it says, you are his servants. You are to him you obey, whether you decide to do of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But let me translate that in English under the Mike Anderson translation. Basically what it's saying is, that which you listen to, you have made your master. If you yield to them to obey, you've become the person you obey's servant. Well, what's that New Testament law telling us? That in the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve chose to listen to the devil became their master. He then became in charge. Hallelujah. So now we have another transaction that takes place. That if you don't get this one down, and this is why a lot of people are asking questions about sickness and disease. Why is God doing this? Why is God not helping me? Why is God allowing babies to be murdered? Why is God allowing women and things to go through terrible things? Well, you got to be careful with your wording. Because to allow something means you can stop it. Yeah. I can change this, but I'm going to choose to just let it happen. That's the mindset that the devil wants people to have towards him. Because how in the world can you ever believe for change if in the back of your mind the thought is there, he might be allowing this or okay with this? Do you see how it just completely handcuffs and cuts you off at the knees when it comes to your faith? You'll never be able to believe God for healing if in the back of your mind there's a little voice that you've listened to that tells you God is okay with this, God is the author of this, God is letting it happen. No, remember, whatever happens on planet Earth, God is not in control. And now we have another transaction. Adam and Eve, once they were given the keys, again, because I could give you the keys, the title of my truck, and it could be in your name. And you could a week later turn around and give that to somebody else. And they could do whatever they wanted with it legally, right? Well, we have a transaction here that took place in the garden. And now the devil now has the keys or the title deed to planet Earth. Now, to prove that, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, why are we telling you this? When I'm guessing the majority of you in here already know this, but do you have it so branded in you that you can't, that you have now made up your mind, like just like, I can't miss my job because I need something from that place. I can't not be faithful in prayer. I can't not be faithful to speak to the mountain. You know, when I said that in the offering, it was tongue-in-cheek and, you know, meant to be funny in the sense and lighthearted, but it is true. If you're not saying, you must not want, and why wouldn't you be saying? If that's the way to get it, why in the heck aren't you doing it? If the way to get power on the earth and to get God to move is to untie his hands by loosing and binding, by praying and releasing your faith and using the name of Jesus, why aren't we doing it? It must not be branded in us that we have to do it, because we know we have to show up at that job to get what we need. But I don't believe we've arrived at the place yet where we know we have to pray. We have to speak to the mountain. We have to use the name of Jesus. We have to. Or it won't, nothing will change. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3, it says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Notice this, in whom the God of this world, that's the world they're living in, that's the world we're living in, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So it tells us what the God of this world does, which defines who the God of the world is. There's only one entity that would blind people from receiving Jesus so they would people would go to hell. It's the devil. Amen. God's not blinding people. Jesus isn't blinding people. God gave Jesus to shed light on salvation. So we have that transaction in the garden. God gave it to mankind. God's hands are off now. Mankind can do whatever they want with it. Mankind gives it over to the devil. Now the New Testament sheds light on it and tells us what? Satan's the God of the world. Satan's the God of this world. Well, go with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, I'm excited about the authority series. We got to take our place, people. Luke chapter 4, this is where Jesus is in the wilderness with the devil, and we're going to look at verse 5. This is one of the encounters that Jesus was with the devil in the wilderness. And remember, the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness. Now, you say, oh, Jesus never could have experienced temptation. Well, the Bible tells us that he was in all points tempted as we were, yet he didn't sin. What was God's will? Go to the cross. What did the garden show us? He was tempted to not do that. Right? What did he say? Father, I don't want to do this. Can we skip this part? He was struggling with it. What was he? He was tempted to not go the way of God. But he did go the way of God. That was the difference between him and us. Hallelujah. But he does understand and get it. And Luke chapter 4 and verse 5 says, the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment time. Notice this, all the kingdoms of the world. This is in the spirit. He shows him this. And notice what the devil said unto him. All this power will I give unto you, and the glory of them, of what? The kingdoms. What's the glory of the kingdoms? The power, the finances, the influence, the favor, right? That's what it's talking about. He says, and I'll give you the glory. Now notice the next line. For that, what is? The power and the glory of all the kingdoms on earth was delivered or is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, what's the devil saying? I'm in charge of everything on planet Earth. Now, it wouldn't be a temptation if it wasn't something that Jesus, if the devil didn't have it to give it, it really wouldn't have been a temptation. And Jesus would have called him out and said, it's not yours to give. But notice Jesus didn't say anything of the sort. Why? Because we already saw it was given and delivered to him. When was it delivered? In the garden. Adam and Eve delivered it to him. Adam and Eve had what? Dominion and power over all the kingdoms. Everything on earth. And they gave it to the devil. And now the devil said what? I have the power of. And Jesus didn't say, no, you didn't. You're lying. Why? Because it's true. It's true. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. We got to get this stuff in us where it's not optional. Remember I talking about that family member that had dialysis? You know what revelation they've come up with in them? They dialysis and plug it into that machine whenever they have to during the day, no matter where they are, no matter what they want to. They have a revelation. I got to do it. Why? There's something I need from that machine. And I believe the only way we get to where we fully understand this, especially with the pressing religious ideas and past things and the devil throwing thoughts, that we realize, hey, we better do something or God's not going to move, is to first get this stuff in us of why it's necessary. Where in times past, Ephesians 2 verse 2, you walked according to the course of this world. Talking about the world, this world. According to the prince. Sounds like majesty. Sounds like royalty. Sounds like a high place. The prince of the power of the air. Well, who's he talking about? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Who's this talking about? Satan. So the Bible calls him the God of this world. He told Jesus, I have the power to give you the kingdoms, and Jesus didn't argue with him because it was true. And now the Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. But I'll tell you what really points to me about Satan being in control is John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. I was at a concert, Christian concert once at St. Bonaventure years ago. And it was, this band was really, really popular at the time. I don't know if they are as much anymore, but they had some really big, popular Christian songs that were on the radio and songs you do in church and things. And they had some good songs. But the lead singer got up during the testimony time and the preaching time. It's funny, when I go a lot of these, and I hear a lot of Christian concerts, Court knows it, like we'll listen to, maybe buy a CD and listen to it. When they start preaching, I just wish they just sing and just shut their mouths, because a lot of times they just run their yap according to not truth at all and do more harm than good. I heard one Christian band at Kingdom Bound one time stand up and during a salvation call and tell the people, you can receive God in your heart. You don't have to say anything. Don't worry about confessing or anything. Just talk to him in your heart. Well, the Bible says that if a man shall confess with his mouth and believe in his heart. And I hear these things all the time. And this Christian singer got up and said, my God, he has such a sense of humor. He gave me ADD. Ha, 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 hearty, har, har. And people are, and then they wrote a song about God. You know, the song came from a person that had lost a baby. And the person that lost the baby, they attributed it to, God took the baby. That God killed that baby. And they're singing a song, and everybody's worshiping to that song, and they're giving a testimony about that song, and everybody, oh, amen, amen. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. The Lord gave the baby, and the Lord has the right to take it away. That is so demonic. But this is the thought that's running rampant in the body of Christ. Why? They missed the first part of the movie. Now they're confused. I would be confused to think, he gave me everything to save me, but now he's killing my kid? He gave me everything to save me, but yet he's putting a disease on me? I would have to think, you know, maybe I didn't pay attention in the beginning parts. The beginning parts explain it all. And the Bible says in John 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not, but he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, what does the world, you watch the news lately? Have you heard through the grapevine? Things are not wonderful. There's a global pandemic. I don't know if you've heard of it. There's killings and mass murders and just horrible, awful things in the world all the time. One time I just sat down to watch the 6 o'clock news just to see when are they going to finally say something good. It didn't happen until like in the 20s, in the 20 minutes after it all. I mean, everything was this happened. Well, think about it now. This is what's happening in our world. And the Bible says that there's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's sure what seems like what's going on in the world. A lot of stealing, killing, destroying. Well, why is that? Because he's in charge of it. Your life-giving Father has no control. And I know you say that to most Christians and most churches, and they'll shout you right out of the church and call you a blasphemer and demonic and everything, but it's true. God doesn't have control. Why? He gave it to Adam and Eve. They messed it up. And now the one that is in control is a stealer, a killer, and a destroyer. Now, let's close with this, and we'll just a few verses. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Luke 10 and verse 17. I want to show you some things here. And then we're going to pray. Because we have to pray. Amen. We have to. That helps me because I don't have to want to. I don't have to feel like it. I have to do it. People, all the time people go to their jobs. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that, but you need something from that job. Well, I need something from him. Doesn't matter if I want to. Doesn't matter if I feel like it. I got to do it. Amen. Praise God. Luke 10, 17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This is when Satan was kicked out of heaven years and years. Well, it was years and years. We don't even know how many years it was, but it was years and years before he came slithering in the garden. Because he was already kicked out of heaven and on the earth. That's why God said, hey, there's some things you're going to have to subdue. There's some things you're going to have authority over. Hallelujah. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said, behold, I give unto you power. Now, it's important to see that we're going to see two words power here. I've taught you this before. That first word power and the second word power, if you look them up in a Greek concordance, are not the same word. The first word power is the word exousia. So let's read it in the Greek. It would say, behold, I give unto you exousia to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power, or the Greek word would be dunamis, of the enemy, and thereby nothing shall hurt you. Well, that first word exousia is not translated power. It's translated authority. And the second word dunamis is actually like dynamite, explosive, miracle-working power. Two different things, power and an authority. But notice this, that Jesus said, and this was a preview of how it was going to happen when he leaves the earth and what we were going to have to do in his stead. He says, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, what's he saying? For nothing by any means to hurt you, you're going to have to use what I gave you. I'm giving you authority. You have to use the authority. They came back in verse 17 and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us under your name. What were they doing? Using his authority, and it was causing change. Had they not used their authority, they'd have been licked. And it's the truth. Because we see with the seven sons of Sceva over there in Acts, when the devil showed up and they didn't know their authority. And they didn't use authority. And they had no idea about authority. What? Their butts were kicked and stripped naked and ran out fleeing. The seven sons of the Jewish priest that didn't know their authority. Well, okay, so he says, I'm giving you authority. Two more places. Matthew 28, 18. Matthew 28, 18. Now look at what he says. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, there it is again, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Look up that word power. It's not dunamis. It's exousia, so it should be translated. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, what did Jesus do in the previous scripture? Because now he's getting ready to exit stage left. He's already died on the cross. He's born again. He's appeared to his disciples. He's speaking to them for the last time before he leaves. But when he was on the earth, remember the 70 returned with joy. And what did he say? I've given you authority. Why? Because you need authority to deal with the devil. You need who's what? In charge down here. And so now, if he says all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth, it does no good for Jesus to hold on to this authority. He's not here anymore. He says, because I have all that authority, go you, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What's he saying to them? All authority is given unto me, but I'm transferring it to you, praise God. And you now go forth and tear up the devil's kingdom. Because that's what I was doing when I was here. Now I'm not going to be here, but I'm giving you the authority to do so. And then last but not least, Mark chapter 16. This will bring it out clearly. This, again, is another account by Mark of Jesus getting ready to leave, but he's speaking to them after he's died and rose again. Verse 14 says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat and ate meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So now here we go. Now remember, in the other account we see, and with the Luke account, Jesus is saying, I have authority, I give it unto you. But he says unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believe not shall be damned. What's he saying? I am leaving it up to you. What's that saying? Well, if we just sit on our hands, a whole lot's going to be lost. And then look what he says. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they. Not me anymore. I'm not here. I'm on the throne next to the Father. In my name. What's that mean? If people don't know their authority, and people that have devils, and there's no one to cast them out, guess who's getting stuck with the devils? What's he telling us? You got to do something. I'm not here. And the Father's not doing it. He's got to work through you. They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Look at this. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. What's he expecting us to do? Lay hands on the sick. You know what he's saying to us? He's saying, I need your words for this to work. I need your hands for this to work. I need you to go for this to work. Have you ever seen the show Survivor? They do like challenges and things, and one of the challenges they've had over the years in Survivor is they'll set somebody up on a perched position that doesn't have a blindfold, and they'll have a couple people on their team that is blindfolded. And they're shouting out directions. And it's frustrating for those people because it's like, do you not know which way right and left is? Because they're like, left, left, and the person's going this way. I said left, duck, duck, and they get hit by something, right? And it's frustrating because the person from the perch position knows exactly what's needed, but they can't do anything unless the ones down there follow directions and do the right thing. And God is in heaven. So I need you to pray. I need you to bind and loose. I need you to go. I need you to lay hands. I need you to cast out devils. Praise God. And we'll see in this series why now the Christian is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, why now we have that authority. But God can do nothing on this planet unless the Christian does something first. And if you don't recognize why that is and how that came to be, because it sounds so against everything that religion tells people, because it seemingly is taking the power out of God's hands. It's not taking the power out of God's hands. God's just following the rules. God's just being honorable and not taking back something he gave. Amen. And if you don't first recognize God gave it away and then it was given to someone nasty, oh, that's why things are, and that's why we got to do. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we'll look at more next week. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, we're changed. We're different. Your hands are tied. That's not demeaning to you. That's not blasphemy. That's not putting you down. That's not a doubting statement. It's true. Your hands are tied. Father, with James, your hands were tied. With Peter, prayer and authority in the name unleashed and unloosed your hands, and we were able to save him, praise God. Father, help us to realize, to recognize why we have to stand up to be the body of Christ, to do our part. Father, praying is not optional. Releasing our faith is not optional. Taking authority is not optional, because if we don't do these things, you can't do them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We know everyone in here is born again. If you're not born again and you're watching online, the first step for you is to get into the kingdom of God. Romans 10:9 is your outline. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. If you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, if you can say, I believe in Jesus, all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. If you'll do that, pray that prayer. It just sounds something like this. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean it, he will. Give me a phone call. Give me an email. Let me know. We'll get you hooked up. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love you, Father. Let's just worship him and thank you. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to thank everyone for watching on live stream. Praise God at this time. If you can stay.